On October, August 25th, 1989. Chetra, where are you from in Cambodia?
Originally, I'm from Phnom Penh. My mother was born in a countryside called Gatdang. It's in the Kandah province. My father was born in Prairien province, and they married and they live in Rokagong for most of their life, and then they moved to Phnom Penh after the war, and no, before the war. Basically, I grew up in Phnom Penh, go to school in Phnom Penh in primary school and also in junior high, equivalent to junior high in America.
So you were born in Phnom Penh then,
That's
right?
right.
Okay. When exactly?
I was born in December 10, 1961. Make me old now.
It's all relative, eh? Okay. And what do you remember most about your childhood? What things do you remember about growing up, or going to school, or?
Well, basically, I have a pretty good childhood from the day I was born until my father was taken away. I was born in a middle-class Cambodian family, but the standard of living is very low, even though the middle class of Cambodian standard of living compared to American standard of living is just lower class American standard of living. So, but
What kind of work did your father do back in the country?
my father is a businessman. He has his own jewelry store. And my mother is a housewife, basically, but she's helping my father making the jewelry and selling the jewelry. And so both of them worked together when they moved to Phnom Penh. Before that, they were a common farmer. They worked in farm. After they get married, they have their own farm. And my father learned a jewelry making skill. And after that, after he had the skill, he opened his shop and he moved to a what we call in a urban environment.
So he made his own jewelry then?
He made his own jewelry and he sell them. He has a small store. It's not too small, it's not too big, but it's big enough to support the life of the family comfortably. Again, it's a middle class Cambodian family. We don't have a lot. We're not rich. For sure we're not. We're not considered to be rich.
What did you have servants or anything like that, or what kind of, did you have cars or?
When I was young, I remember that we had servants until I was 12 years old to help out in the family. And servanthood in Cambodian, the servant live with the families as slaves in America. They live with the person who pay them. They eat together, but basically they do the common household work because my mom has to help my father doing the jewelry thing and selling and all of this at store. So we need them to help out at home.
And what What was the number of brothers and sisters that you had back in your country when you were growing up?
I was growing up with two eldest brother and two eldest sisters. I'm the youngest in the family. So altogether we have five children and two parents. So the whole family is seven and the whole family is seven people.
What do you remember about, say, growing up in Phnom Penh, let's say, your kindergarten or whatever, your early years, what are there any things that you particularly remember? Or?
There's a lot of good things I remember in the childhood.
What were they?
I stopped school a year earlier because all my brothers and sisters were going to school, and usually a child starts school at age of 7, but because my sister and my brother was going to school, they helped me learning things that a child should learn. So I learned basic consonants and all this, and I got to go to school at 6 years old. And I had a good childhood because I'm the youngest in the family, but for sure I'm not spoiled. Nobody admitted that. No, I'm not spoiled at all. I started school at 6, and in a primary school, well, I consider my childhood is a pretty good one too, because I never had to face with a financial problem, or my father never mentioned any financial problem at all to the family. All my brothers and my sisters were going to school, and me was going to school also.
How were you getting to school this time? Did you walk to school or?
We live in a walking distance to school, to a primary school where I was going to. My sister took me to school on a bicycle, and sometime my brother took me to the school on a bicycle. I went to school with my brother next to me, and then he went to junior high, equivalent to junior high in America. And then I got to school, and then I got my bike. Yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah. How old were you?
I was 11. So
you got your first bike at home.
Right.
At this time, when you got your first bike, were you still going to school with your brothers and sisters?
No, my brother went to a different school, and that's the reason why my parents decided to get a bicycle for me, because nobody take me to school anymore, and I guess I was big enough to ride a bicycle.
Was this the same school, or were you going to a different school at this time from the primary school?
I'm still going to the same school. Let me see, like 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. So the primary school, 6 years in it, you know, sixth grade level. We counted, in contrast to American standard school, we counted from 12 to 1. The first grade, which means that the highest. In America, you come from 1 to 12. Mm-hmm. You reach 12th grade, you're out of high school.
I see.
So I guess the school system was influenced by our friend's educational system, because we were colonized by friends.
Did you, at school, did you meet a lot of your friends there, or you know, did you meet a lot of your friends by your house, or how was it?
I have a friend at home in the neighborhood, as well as a friend at school. I have to say that I'm the kind of person who make friends, and I love to make friends, more friends hopefully, you know. And I like to meet people since I was young. And
were these people that you went to, say, primary school with, and sort of like grew up with?
Yes, basically. I had my best friend. We were going to primary school together, and we go to school together for about 5 years together. That's my best friend. But besides my best friend, I make a lot of friends too. We grew up in a safe environment.
Did he live close by you, or?
A neighbor.
A neighbor.
The neighbor.
I see.
But that's my best friend also, and I still remember him.
Let me ask you about your neighborhood. Can you describe your house? What was your house like? What do you remember about your house?
The house is basically wood. We have electricity, but it's really limited. I guess because of the money that we cannot afford to use so much, and since Cambodia is not technological advanced, we don't have electric stove, we don't have a lot of things, but we have energy through electrical line for lighting, but for cooking, in our house we use charcoal and sometimes wood to do the cooking. In my house, again, we are not in a rich house, we live in a wooden house, and it's high from the ground. It's like, it's not to the ground, it's not level up with the ground, it's higher.
Raised up?
It's raised up.
Was it on stilts?
On stilts, and we can walk underneath.
Did your dad ride a bicycle, or what did he, how did he get to work?
He had his own bicycle. We didn't have any car at all, even until the day when the communists took over, we still could not afford any car at all, because my parents put so much money into our children's education. He support all the children to go to school, and back home, even though you was going to college, there's no such thing as part-time job that college students can earn and support themselves going to school. So parents, if parents want the children to go to school, they must be able to pay for the children to go to school. And the reason that my parents are not well off, because they sent all the children to go to school, and they didn't ask any. My father believed so much in education, he did not keep any child to help him out at home. And none of us learn his skill, so because he, even though he liked what he's doing, but he believed that education is very important for us, and that's why he put all his money for us to go to school.
Now, you say that all your brothers and sisters were going to school. Now, say for your older brothers or sisters, were they going, what, to high school, to lycée, or what kind of school were they attending at this time?
At this time?
Well, say when you were 11 years old and you got your bike, were any of them, what, in university or anything like that, or what level of school, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
My oldest sister got a job by the time I was 11. But she still lived at home, according to Cambodian traditional way of living. My second sister also got a job as a nurse. My older sister got a job as an accounting, but my second sister got a job as a nurse working in the hospital. And at that time, my second sister go to school and go to go to work as a nurse and go to school at night time, trying to learn English at the same time. And it paid her off later that she got to work with an American doctor when Americans became involved in, this is in the war now, during the war now. My sister, because she is able to speak a few words in English, she got to work very closely to an American doctor.
Now, even though they were working, were they still living at home?
Both of them was a point. By this time, my father's business is not running quite well because of the war, because of the conflict at home. But this, we all still live together, and both my sisters supporting the family at this time now. My parents, that business is not running quite well by the time I was 11. It just, I don't know for sure what happened to them, but they are not supporting the family anymore. My two sisters were supporting the family, and my two brothers were still going to school. They were going to Lisey right now, equivalent probably to junior high.
And you were attending
primary school still.
Primary school still.
You know, like we had sixth grade level in primary school.
Okay. Now at this time, when you were 11 and you got your first bike, we'll use that as a frame of reference. What things do you remember? What things do you remember seeing of the war, of the change coming over the country? Do you remember seeing anything? Or
being a child, I noticed very little, and especially in my family environment, there's so little I noticed of. Even the war took place, even my family situation changed, and my sister had to work for the family. And my parents did not do much in terms of financial support. But I was still going to school. There's nothing significant I can remember that really worth mentioning.
About what time was it, though, that you began recognizing that something was going on? Do you remember the first impression?
The first impression about the war is after I passed the exam to go to the other school. It's changed in my life. It changed in my family life. And I went to a different school. I lost. That's when I was separated from my best friend and from a lot of friends I had before. And this is during the war now. It's 1971, 1972. I was going to different school now. And that's the time the war started. The war started in 1970, but it didn't get any, well, to my understanding alone, it didn't get to my attention until in 1972, when more and more people start talking about the war, even in the family. Newspapers start mentioning about the battlefield and about the injured soldiers, and school become one of the targets that that caused the riot against the government, and that's the year when I started the new school, the new level of school. This is no longer the primary school. It's
how old were you at this time?
I was 12, turning 13. But there's a quite change, a drastic change at this time. And I think the major factor that made me remember this because at the school, this is equivalent, this school is equivalent. Here in America, we have different levels of school, right? The primary school, junior high, and then high school. Over there, we have primary school, and then what we call lycée. Lycée is not even equivalent to American high school. I would say it's in junior high. But despite the fact we were young, there's a lot of propaganda targeted to school, aiming at children at a young age. The government trying to indoctrinate the young children to believe in what we call Republicans' ideology, where the other party, which is known as the communists at that time, trying to indoctrinate the other ideology into the school. So there's so many things into the children at that time, and we were confused. Basically, I did not know what I was doing, but most of the teachers in school, they believe so much in the communist ideology, and despite the fact that the government would not let them feed that ideology into the children, they somehow got to the children to believe what the teachers believe. So at this time, I was 13 and the year was 1972, I don't know for sure, but during this war now, it's like everybody trying to indoctrinate the children to believe in their own party.
So excuse me, but what you're saying is the teachers were told to teach Republican ideology.
Basically, yes.
They were told to do that, but in fact they ended up teaching you what the teachers felt, right?
That's true.
Communist or opposition.
Right, because based on what they believe, well, most of teachers believe in communist ideology because theoretically it sounds good. I know the word good doesn't describe anything, but the word equality economically or socially, it gives more teachers because teachers were not paid well this period, and communist ideology during this period aim at equality economically and socially, and a lot of teachers believe in that, and especially during this period, this is what I learned back, during this period, the government was so corrupted. You know, a lot of money coming from America, and a lot of this is Lenin's regime, and a lot of money going to the pocket, but to the teacher, they don't get a lot of money. So they believe, most of them, I'm not saying not all of them, but most of them believe in communist ideology because of the economic equality.
And plus, they weren't being paid much.
Right.
They felt
right.
Okay.
they felt cheated by the government, by the Republican government.
Did at this time you said that your family was talking about the war and everything. Do you remember? Your family.
My father started to bring this war idea, starting to receive our relatives from countryside who escaped from the war. My relatives kind of would stay with us for a few months before they can find their own shelter, make their own living. And that's the time when I realized that my house now is quite aware of what's going on in outside environment, especially the war.
Did you ever speak with your relatives? Did they have kids your age or anything like this?
No, most of them coming with a older generation, not my generation. They escaped out of the war. The one who got children, my relative who got children by my age, got stuck in the war. And especially my father's side, most of them work in farm. From my father's side, he's the only one who was able to make a living in urban environment, and the rest of his brother and sister were not able to have the skill to be able to earn a living in an urban environment, so they stay in farm and make their living in farm, in a rice field.
Did you, when you were a child, did you ever go and see your relatives living on the farm? Did you ever visit them?
Yes, I did. We were in a family, but we could not go very often because of the financial limitation in the family. But I got to see them a lot. Both sides, my parents, to my father's side and my mother's side, we do a lot of that thing. Visit them in the countryside, and that's one of the things that keep me aware of what's going on in the countryside as well, in the urban area.
Well, when you were in the countryside, do you remember seeing anything? I mean, like any signs of the war out there? Did you see?
Starting in 1970, I don't get to go back to relative very often anymore. But after the war, this is the beginning of the war, there's not much I can remember. You mean like fighting?
Did you see anything? Yeah, any soldiers or any, well, I guess what I'm trying to reach is any manifestations, you know,
of the war?
Yeah, any soldiers or anything like that?
Well, to my father's side, it takes like 2.5 hours from where we live to his relative. that's on car. And yes, I do see, but I never seen any real war fighting or killing at all. But I see some soldier along the highway. There's some soldier military set up along the highway. By the Republican, by the Lula regime.
Yes.
I never seen the Khmer Rouge regime set up at all.
No.
This is 1971, 1972.
Well, okay, as you were, say, okay, 12 years old, 13, prior to the to the takeover, what memories do you have, like, as you, say, graduated and went to the other school, what were your memories at this time?
There's a lot of things I remember.
Okay.
Basically, the school though, I like a lot of commoting kids. I was basically was told to go to school. You know, at this age, there's not much to do. I hate to say good thing about myself, but I've been a pretty good kid all along. I guess because of my parents and because I'm the youngest, and all my brother and sister keep their eyes on me. And
did you ever get in trouble?
I don't remember I ever get in trouble though at during my early age. I've been a good kid all along, except my brother, the one older than I am. He's a troublemaker. He had a lot of trouble with school and again, I hate to say a lot of good things about me, but I never get in trouble. I never get spanked by my dad.
Well, okay, talking about school, what foreign language did you learn when you were in school?
Let me see. When did I start learning French? 12? 11? 10? Maybe? That's when I was 11 years old. What we call the ninth grade. Four from 12. So with ninth grade to us, that's when we start learning French. French character.
Mm-hmm.
but it was taught by Cambodian teacher. And the teacher back home, it is one teacher teach all the subjects.
Mm-hmm.
This is in primary school, he teach all the subjects. Math, history, and everything that we're supposed to learn in school.
He's the main one.
Right, he's the only one.
I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. You said as things gradually got worse, you remember more relatives coming to live with your family and stuff. At the time of, say, the right before the takeover, the communist takeover, what things do you recall about the war as it got, say, closer? What do you remember? Do you remember?
As the war closer, I'm getting to a higher grade.
Mm-hmm.
This is, we're talking about 1973-74, right?
Mm-hmm.
The war takeover in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
The world is changing rapidly. More refugees coming to Phnom Penh, and this is a time where we realize that in Phnom Penh, the starvation in Phnom Penh, and people live on the street. Most of them are from countryside who do not have any relatives in Phnom Penh, and the government did so little to support these people. There are some rural organizations as UNICEF, one then helped by the refugee of the war, but a lot of money went into pocket of the leader, not the refugee, and the starvation, and we became aware of the war at this time. This is not just the fighting war, but the economic war in Phnom Penh now. This is 1973, changing to 1974. It's getting bad, and in school, the riots, we facing with harder propaganda. The government trying harder to reach the students. The government at this time were aware that the school, most of the students, the higher level of the education, the one in university has been indoctrinated by the communist doctrine. And my level of education, I was in, at the end, well, equivalent to a junior high right now in America, at this 14, turning 15 years old. The certain thing that we were told, even though the government will not allow the teacher to teach certain things, basically they're not allowed to teach any political upheaval, but there's certain thing that teacher promote, there's certain thing, certain ideology that teacher trying to put to student, give to student. And
what were those? What kind of ideology? I mean, I know what type of ideology, but how did they do this? Did they lecture to you? What specific, what form did
what,
this?
To be specific on this, for sure they cannot teach in class. All of this thing happened outside of classroom.
Okay.
And people who were interested, people who are students who are close to the teachers, is the one who get indoctrinated by this idea of why are we fighting for the American imperialism, where other people are starving in the city, not just in the countryside. Most of the teacher and professor patriotic to the starvation, to the people, to the country. And
this is in junior high.
They were quite aware because most of the teacher are not paid well, and
so your teachers were out there outside of school talking to students your age then.
Right, this is at the end of classroom. This like organizing group. Now, this is a period where it was going to dual spy play, which now is called dual slime. It's a
you went to this school then?
I went to this school.
Can you?
My primary school was in Temuk.
Temuk, okay.
I passed the exam to a tool spy play.
Okay.
But at this time now, this is, it was 1972, it's 1974, and this is one of, dual spy play is one of the schools that has been hit very hard. Dapun Baimina is the school that hit the most, but second to Dapun Baimina is dual spy play.
When you say hit, with how?
With ideologies against the government.
Okay.
The communists get into this school. They try to organize students against the government.
Students your age.
At this school, at this dual spy play. This dual spy play, let me see.
Primary school?
No, it's not primary school.
Secondary.
Secondary now. It's no longer. Sintomok is my primary school.
Okay.
This is past primary school now. I'm in dual spy play right now. 1973, 74, 75.
Okay.
And again, because I cannot see the clear picture between junior high, because we have only two levels of school in Cambodia, primary school and secondary school. Here we have primary school, junior high, and high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a division there.
Okay, I just want
to
quickly.
But when they try to organize, they try to organize the older one, the one at 15, 16, 17 years old, the one who just got to this, we call it high school, to make it clear, let's call dual swipe is a high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's not equivalent to a high school here, but we call it high school. Lycée.
Yeah, Lycée, okay.
Right. The communist leader, basically the professor there, and the teachers there, they believe so much in communist ideology because of the economic equality. I later learned that because of the economic equality and because starvation is at home. This is like in your backyard now. School is the place where information gets through first, and companies were organizing students. So this is Civil War student against the Republican Nono regime was supported by the Americans. Okay.
Did you when this would happen at your school? Did you go home and just discuss this with your parents when you'd see these things? Did you ask them, about what you were seeing?
By this age, I was no longer close to my parents, but in terms of this, I never talked anything to my parents. I mentioned in a shallow term, what happening in school and all this, but to a detail where the organized group, forming group, and all of this, I never discussed anything with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just clarify something real quick here. Now, you attended the school Tool Slang, correct?
Tool Slang, right.
Tool Slang.
When I was going to school, the school is changed to Tool Slang from 1970 to 1975. The school has the name of Tool Slang,
okay.
Because it's located in a not county, but what is it?
City, district, or?
District. Dual Swipery District. So it's changed to Dual Swipery. So this school is Dual Swipery.
Was this the same school that became Tool Slang?
That's right, the same one. They changed the Dual Swipery to Tool Slang in 1975 after the Khmer Rouge took over. Because Dual Swipery is no longer a school, but it's a prison where they keep
became
prisoners.
A prison, yes.
Right.
The notorious person.
Right. But before it's a dual slang, it's a dual slang prayer, just like other lycée or high school.
Let me ask you this. We're jumping ahead a bit, but when you hear stories of tool slang now, how does that feel to you, knowing that that was a school you used to go to? How does that feel knowing that that was became a prison? Does that bother you?
It bothered me a lot because after the Vietnamese took over in 1979, I went back to see what my classroom turned out to be. I couldn't recognize my classroom. I recognized the building where I go to school. I finally went into my classroom, and I see what happened to the classroom. There's no more chair in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an empty room, and there's a bed in there. And I've been told about the persecutions by the tool guy at Dual Slang. And when it comes back now, there's a mixed emotions in me. Between a good memory, a sweet memory there, and a bad one too, because despite the war, despite the communist organized group in the school, student as student, anywhere in the world,
mm-hmm.
we have fun, we have friends, we have boyfriend and girlfriend, all of this. Those are the sweet memory that I still have. the place where we have snack. Again, there's a lot of good memory, but at the same time, it disappointed me to see that my school ever turned out to be that kind of a notorious place with killing and persecution, murder, suicide. Is the place where education is the most valuable asset at that place, and it's no longer there. I went back and I didn't see anyone that I know. The friend I made during those 3 years in that school, not there anymore. The professor, the teachers who taught me during those years were not there. It's only the memory.
Right. Okay.
So, I know we're jumping ahead, but
no, it's okay.